This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora everyone, welcome to Arrow, Arrow FM's Aratoi Pathways to Art, our monthly art show. From me, Becky Bateman. If you haven't listened to the show before, frankly, where have you been? Because it's a brilliant show, all about art, artists, community, exhibitions, all that kind of stuff. So if this is your first time, I hope you tune in for more. And if it isn't your first time, welcome back to the show. Today, we have got a fabulous guest on the phone with me today from the exhibition Artists on Artists. We've got the lovely Lindsay Horn on the phone. Hello, Lindsay.
Kia ora, thanks for having me on the show, Becky.
Yeah, oh, thank you, thank you. We can hear you beautifully. What a lovely loud voice. That's what I like. now, Lindsay, your exhibition, or the exhibition you're curating, should I say, Artists on Artists is at Aratoi at the moment. It's for another couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yes, we're lucky it's actually on until the 3rd of November, so it's got a lovely long run, the beautiful Aratoi Museum and Gallery.
Excellent. So we're going to be talking all about this exhibition today, and this yours is a slightly different exhibition to what we normally talk about, because normally I have one artist who will talk about the entire exhibition and different images and photos or paintings, whatever they've done, but it's one artist. But you're slightly different today because you have curated a show with, is it 11, 12 artists?
Yeah, there's 12 of us, so it's a nice big group show. 12 different artists from Aotearoa, and specifically from the kind of Wellington, Te Whanganui, Otara area as well.
Excellent. So we're going to have a really good chat about each one of those ones. And we've got some music to play as well, as per usual. And Lindsay, I hope you've got some good stories, because these two are two really good songs.
There's some interesting ones with some fun stories behind them as well, that's for sure.
Excellent. Well, shall we kick off then? So, Lindsay, do you want to introduce yourself briefly and who you are and what this show, Artists on Artists, is all about?
Yeah, sure, of course. Well, I guess to kick things off, ko Māo te Maunga, ko Tauranga Moana te Moana. So I'm originally from Tauranga, but have recently moved to the beautiful capital of our country and have always been interested in art and humans. My background's actually in neuroscience and I work in behavioural research, so I've always been really interested in people, and my own practice is, or artistic practice has always been around portraiture and figurative work as well. So was really interested in kind of, yeah, bringing the human side into art as well. And also just love hanging out with people, which is why I'm really interested in group shows as well and getting a chance to meet other artists. I never went to a formal art school in New Zealand. I studied a bit in the States, which is where I learnt or kind of developed my art practice. So for me, having a chance to collaborate with other Aotearoa artists is always just such a blast. Like, I love it.
I can imagine. I first of all, I'm flabbergasted you didn't go to art school, because I think your image is fabulous in the show. We'll come to that later on, but I do love it. So to know that you've got no formal art training is incredible. Well done.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I do have a bit of formal. I studied art in the States, but yeah, definitely didn't go to ELIM or any other art schools like that.
So I'm just quite interested on this topic now. How did you get started? What did you do? Just kind of go, actually, I want to do painting? What happened?
So I always did art throughout school and then just really fell in love with oil painting. So that's what I kind of predominantly do, but have recently gotten into sculpting and figurative work. And wow. as someone who's really used to 2D work and constantly trying to foreshorten and get the angles right, it still just blows my mind when you switch to sculpting in 3D that you can just turn your artwork around and work on it from another angle. So it's still, yeah, I'm still just really enjoying that aspect.
It's a very good point. I've to regular listeners who've been listening to this show, I have just started painting myself with the wonderful Jane Sinclair, who was on a couple of months ago, I think probably in June, for her exhibition. And she's been teaching painting for many, many years. And I remember she said to me, when we were talking about our exhibition, oh, everybody can paint, Becky. It's just, you know, if you just, you do or you don't. And I was like, no, don't be silly, Jane. I can't paint. There's no chance. And she's like, I will teach you how to paint. And to be honest, now, Lindsay, I am absolutely addicted. I'm like, I can't wait for Thursdays to kind of go to a painting class and go, oh, I've got to do a painting today. Yay! And, you know, buying paint and canvases. And I think my husband's like, who are you? What is going on? But I totally get that sometimes it just kind of clicks at that moment in time. And you're just like, this is what I want to do.
It really does. And I think people should let a lack of practice or confidence stop them. Because do you know what? When artists, I've just heard this so many times, like we practice so much and build up our technique and get kind of picture perfect and get these beautiful representations. And then do you know what? They all just want to loosen up and then go back to a really naive, free-form style and go back to the beginning again and get really jealous of people that don't have formal training. And so it's kind of like you can just skip all the hard work and just roll on in with that kind of fun, free, loose, naive style.
Yes. I suppose that's interesting because the deeper you go, the more, you know, concentrating, like you say, the technique kind of takes over. So it is quite nice for me, especially for only just being doing it for 9 months. I'm just like, la, 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 just, you know, slap a bit of paint on. It'll be fine. You know, it's quite freeing. Anyway, that was quite a nice little kind of jaunt through your life. Thank you, Lindsay. Cool. So tell me about the show. Tell me about Artists on Artists.
Yeah, sure. So it's a group portraiture show, but with a bit of a twist. So the idea is that the different artists involved have actually painted one another in almost like a chain link or daisy chain formation. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Felix Jackson took a photograph of Mika Turnbull, who in turn drew Ali Pang, and then Ali did a collage of AJ. So it's, like a chain link of different portrait artists, which makes for a really kind of trippy viewing experience because you're looking at this you're kind of looking at this one portrait, and then to the left of it you're like, okay, this is the portrait who's done by the person I can see on the left.
Yes.
And then the subject of this portrait that I'm looking at, their portrait that they created, is on the right. So you're kind of looking at this one artwork in amongst these other ones next to it. It makes for a very almost like connected viewing.
It is. And the first time I went and looked at it properly, it took me a long time to kind of get into the habit of looking left, looking right, looking in the middle. Oh, yeah, gotcha.
It was quite... I know, when you see people going through the exhibition, it's almost like when you see people watch a tennis match, like, yes, their heads kind of going back and forth.
And it was so interesting because you don't often see the artist, so to kind of work out that's the person who drew or took a photo or painted this picture, and, you know, it carries on. It was so interesting, and you almost, it was quite weird because you kind of almost put personalities on the artist looking at their work, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, yes, well, that person does look like that, clearly. And it was, I could see people kind of doubling back and going and like kind of nodding to themselves going, yep, that feels right, that person did that next piece of art. That sounds really silly, but you know what I mean.
But and it's nice to kind of see a representation of the artist and the artist's work as well. It's so interesting. Whenever I talk to people, they really hone on the portrait of the artist, whereas for me, I really hone in on the artist and the artist's work that they created. That's kind of how I lead it through the exhibition, because I'm just really interested in the artwork that the artist produced. But for most people, they really hone in on the like representation of the artist and what they look like.
Well, I suppose it's something we don't normally see pictures of, isn't it? We don't normally see pictures of the artist through someone else's eyes, you know, because normally you see an artist, you know, a self-portrait perhaps, but we don't often see the artist represented in a different art form that they don't do, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, you're so right. You don't often, the artist is not often in the frame. And it's really interesting. So many portrait artists that I've worked with have actually never had a portrait of themselves done before.
Oh,
so
really?
This is often a first time experience for them. And can be really quite daunting for them, and often I hear from them afterwards saying that it taught them a lot of empathy for their subjects going forward.
I can imagine. Now, where did this idea came from? Because this isn't the first show, is it? I think it's the third iteration of Artists on Artists, is that right?
Yes, yeah, this is our third year running the exhibition.
Wow, so where did the idea come from? So I suppose kind of winding around the clock, that's kind of, you know, after COVID, you have these kind of COVID, before COVID and after COVID moments, don't you? Is it just after COVID or was it during COVID you kind of came up with this idea?
Yeah, it's so funny. I was talking to Becky, the director of Arutua, and she was saying how she wasn't necessarily interested in lockdown or COVID art per se, but was really interested in the artwork that like blossomed and the flow on effects of it. And this is like a real classic case of that. So I came up with the idea during one of the lockdowns. I was sitting on the bus listening to a radio interview just like this, actually.
Yeah.
And they were interviewing Leonard Bell, who was the curator of one of the exhibitions at the New Zealand Portrait Gallery. And he had just curated a big exhibition on Marty Friedlander. For those listening who aren't familiar with Marty's work, she's a fantastic photographer, and she almost exclusively took photographs of artists in New Zealand, and often in their studios or while they were creating artwork. And I just thought that was amazing, kind of seeing artists in their space captured kind of creating their work. And I thought that was just such an amazing idea, and I was kind of looking for different ideas for my own artwork, and I was thinking, oh, you know, maybe I could go around painting different artists. But it was lockdown, and I was like wanting to kind of hang out with people and wanting it to be a little bit more collaborative and actually just wanting to do group shows rather than a solo show. And then that's kind of when it clicked, and I was like, oh, the artists can paint each other. So yeah, just had an epiphany on a bus. It was great.
I love it. You can position yourself exactly where you were on a bus. So the very first one, which artist did you have for the first one? How did you choose your artists? Did you kind of have people that you knew already, or did you just kind of, you know, just email them out of the blue going, hey, I've got this amazing idea?
I think it was like a real classic New Zealand thing where it's like a little bit of 6 degrees of separation.
Right.
The first time I ran it, it was up in Tamaki at the beautiful Studio One gallery in Ponsonby, and that team is just so dreamy to work with. They're so collaborative and community-minded, so it was a really special place to kind of have the first exhibition. And so it was predominantly Auckland or Tamaki Makaurau-based artists, and I just had always been kind of keeping an eye and following artists that I liked and keeping an eye on their work, and I just reached out to a few people and then asked them if they had people they thought might want to be involved. And then I'm really lucky in that I've got some friends that do really incredible work with diverse communities and are part of really amazing collectives, like for instance Ahua, who was founded by Sonia Milford and Patti Terrell, and they have this amazing collective of queer artists of colour. And so I got them to do a call out with their network, and reached out to a couple of other collectives, and people were just keen. Like, I don't think anyone I asked actually ended up saying no, which was so cool to hear. I think it was because it was, you know, just after lockdown, people were just keen to connect as well. Mm. And it was a real learning curve for me, you know, working with, I think the first show there were 15 artists. So,
wow.
You know, there's a bit of cat herding involved, and you've kind of got, you've got to have your stuff organized. But it was all good. And yeah, just, there's quite a bit of planning involved. Like, you kind of have to start quite a bit in advance of choosing the artist and giving them enough time to actually create the work, and then marketing, and then actually getting it up in the actual gallery itself. But that's like anything, you know, you think about films or music, you know, there's always a lead up time to creating something.
Totally. So how did it work this time? Did people kind of go, oh, I know what this is about. I've heard of Lindsay. I've heard of this artist on artist thing before. You know, were people kind of clamouring at your door this time?
It's helpful having having the last few exhibitions that I can kind of point to. Mm. So this year, because it was Wellington-based artists, I could reach out to them and kind of, you know, I had some proof points of like past exhibitions that I could kind of point to, which was really helpful. And then again, just ask them if they had other people that they wanted to work with. And I also often reach out to artists from previous years to see if they have recommendations for people they think that would want to be involved. Because not everyone likes to work in a really collaborative way, which is totally fine. Like there's a lot of artists that, you know, kind of go like close themselves up and really, you know, kind of put the blinkers up and really like to work on their own and then kind of emerge, whereas other artists really like the kind of collaboration process. So yeah, just kind of checking in with people around if they're kind of keen on a collaborative group show, because it is very collaborative.
yes What I really like about this show is that you've got quite a variety of not just people, but you've actually got a variety of the media, the medium they've actually used as well. Was that on purpose?
Yeah, 100%. Having diversity is really, it's one of the parts of like the exhibition's kaupapa. So diversity, not just in terms of like age and experience and ethnicity, but also diversity of medium. So we've got photographers and painters and collage and zine artists and mixed medium artists, and yeah, it's just really interesting seeing portraiture kind of show itself across those different mediums.
Well, I think before we crack on into looking at each individual artist, shall we have your first song, as already 20 minutes in amazingly it goes yeah. quickly, doesn't it? We've got your first song as Art Versus Science, and they're covering Metallica's Enter the Sam and Enter Sandman. Tell us why you've chosen this song, Lindsay.
I actually had a real hard time choosing songs because I actually did a call out on Instagram and I got so many recommendations. And because the nature of artists on artists is like collaboration and connection, I did a big call out for different songs where it was like different collaborators and or really good covers. And so this song is, people probably are familiar with Triple J, which is a really great station out of Australia, and they have a great segment called Like a Version, where they do really amazing covers. And so that really speaks to me in terms of like the artists on artists and how you can have a different take on a song or these kind of artistic collaborations. And so this is a Metallica song, and so obviously Metallica's like, you know, the godfather of metal and kind of that kind of classic rock space. And this is a really hot take on it by a funk band. So it's a really funky version of Enter Sandman.
Okay. All right. Shall we get playing? And we'll talk to you more after the music. Let's go.
And also, if you're playing the YouTube version, there's a fair bit of chat in advance. You
might want to skip ahead. I'm organised. Okay, let's go.
Oh, thanks, Becky.
Say your prayers, little one. Don't forget my son. To include everyone. I tuck you in, warm within. Keep you free from sin. Till the Sandman he comes. Sleep with one eye open. Grip it below tide. Exit
light. Yeah, that makes sense. Is there anything that in particular that you want me to just tell you now? Never, never land. Okay, yeah, sure. It's so good, eh? I love it too. Yeah, I got so many good recommendations, actually. It was great. Yeah, it's good. My foot's tapping away. Yeah, I recommend that. There's so many good covers in that channel. No, no, they get like quite famous Australian and international artists who do really fun covers. They have every so many people on there. Yeah. I'm not sure, I don't think it live, I just can't like jump on the YouTube channel. Yeah, it's been amazing, like, and so many of the artists, because, you know, we've got a mix of emerging and established artists who are just, like, so grateful, and it's such a foot in the door for them to be in a public gallery. Yeah, they're so happy about it, yeah. We have had some hit up, check it out. Especially like a public gallery, it can be quite hard to fit to those kind of conditions. It is good, eh? Yeah.
That was awesome. I love that, Lindsay. Thank you so much. That was such a
fun cover. Yeah. If people are into covers and different versions of songs, I definitely recommend jumping on Triple J's YouTube channel and checking out like a version.
I loved it. I really enjoyed that. I wasn't quite sure what to expect. Awesome. All right. So as promised, let's go through some of the actual artwork. Should we do it in order, Lindsay? That probably makes sense, doesn't it? So I'll pull up the first one. Is this Mika? This is Felix.
Yeah. So the first portrait of the exhibition is a portrait of Mika Turnbull by Felix Jackson. So Felix is a really up-and-coming photographer who was previously based in Te Whanganui Otago but has just moved up to Tāmaki and is, like, killing it up there.
Nice.
Doing so many amazing events. And, Felix graduated from Massey not long ago and created this amazing magazine and really came up through the ranks through fashion photography.
Can't wait to see
what he kind of does next. And, yeah, if you're kind of tuning in, the portrait of Mika is it's pretty epic, I'm not going to lie. Felix and Mika really connected and kind of created this, like, I think they had like a Pinterest board going with all these different ideas and really developed the concept together. And it's a portrait of Mika painted completely silver on a beach, just looking really magnetic and ethereal. And Felix took the, it ended up being a film produced piece as well. And and so it's fully developed, and it's a really special piece and just like a cracking way to start the exhibition, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is certainly an eye-opener, isn't it? I mean, they must have gone on really well to kind of come up with such a striking image, such a striking photo.
Yeah, because lots of artists work differently with their subjects and want to get something different out of the relationship, and there's no right or wrong way to collaborate with someone. So, for instance, some people, they really just need a reference image and they're really just about the visuals, whereas other people like to really emotionally connect and kind of understand their subject on a deep level in order to create a portrait of them, and then others almost want to like collaborate and create something together. And that was definitely the case with Felix and Nico, which was cool to see.
Like the first time I saw this photo, what caught me first was that they've even painted her eyes.
Kind of, well, not quite. They are contacts, yeah. But yeah, they went all out, which was awesome.
They really did. Like, wow. There was a lot of silver paint there. I can imagine anybody else being on that beach that day would be getting quite a surprise when.
And you know what? It was like 6 a.m. during, like, not a warm time of the year. So real dedication to their discipline, for sure.
That is quite impressive. Okay, well, I will see the whole new light next time I go in. But, yeah, is this one that people are going to go, oh, I need to take a closer look at that. That, right. Okay. So then Mika, if we're going in the chain, so this is a portrait of Mika. So then Mika is doing the next piece of work. That's great, isn't it?
Yeah, so Mika then did a portrait of Ali Pang, who also goes by Apa Papa. So Ali is a really fantastic zine artist. She's really quite big in the zine world and does these amazing collages. Mm-hmm. But in terms of Mika, who produced the work, so Mika is a tattoo artist by trade and has this really distinct style, really kind of like spiky, blobby, kind of ethereal tattoos. They're really distinct. I always see them on people around Wellington. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a Mika symbol. Like, I love it.
I know who that's by.
Yeah. If anyone wants to follow their account, their tattoo account, it's Sid the Kid, start with a C. But Mika's also a really, really super talented fine artist alongside their practice as a tattoo artist. So Mika does these beautiful charcoal drawings and renderings, but they're really kind of like sinister and dark, and I just love them.
Yes,
and
they are,
Mika surreal. And Ellie, what's really cool though is Ellie, as well as being a super talented zine artist, also makes her own jewelry and like does these amazing jewelry pieces, and they're kind of, I wouldn't say like 100% similar, but there, you can definitely see a connection between Ellie's jewellery and Mika's tattoo. And so what you see when you look at the portrait of Ellie by Mika is in the background, it's kind of framed in this kind of like spiky, blobby frame. And that's a nod to Mika's tattoo style and Ellie's jewellery style. So they've kind of blended their artistic techniques together in the portrait. And then the portrait of Ellie herself is so epic. I love it so much. It's kind of grim with like Ellie biting into this strange goopy kind of thing. And the backstory behind it's so funny. Like they were talking about how they wanted her like devouring something, and so Ellie had to send Mika all these videos of her just like biting into something as like reference images. So it's really, I love that piece. And also just like Mika's artistic talent is so on show in this piece, like the contrast and the shading and the way she's captured Ellie's hands, like they're so, she's just super talented with how she, with how Mika draws. Like, I'm just in awe of their work. And they've got an upcoming show at Thistle Hall, I believe, Skullduggery, which happens every year, and it's like a Halloween show, which is perfect. Just so perfect for Mika's style. So if you like that piece, check out their work coming up in Skullduggery.
Yeah, it does have a very Halloween-y, like you say, quite dark, quite macabre, quite sinister, and also quite surreal to it, has it? But actually, now you've said about the background and all the detail, it's actually quite amazing.
It's a beautiful piece. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's quite intriguing, and I can really see the personalities in both. I'm going to be Googling all of these people later. All right, so then Ali, what does Ali do? Who does Ali?
So, yeah, Ali's artistic name, they kind of, this under Apa Papa, which is their kind of collage and zine name. And yeah, as I mentioned, Ali does zine work, but also is a really talented jeweler as well. And so her subject was AJ Manaki Hope. And so they kind of connected up and did a really interesting take on a portrait, because there's no actual face in it. It's like a collage, but it really, the artwork just still catches AJ so much. AJ's such a beautiful soul, and he whakapapas down to the Catlins down in the Otago region. And so when you look at the piece, there's like the mutton birds, and they've got images of his marae, and it's got his three-legged cat in it as well. And it just really still, even though you can't see AJ's face, it just captures his essence so beautifully. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I really like about it, in terms of, it's similar to Ellie and Mika in terms of they kind of like captured both of their artistic styles in the artwork. There's a bit of a nod to, Ellie calls it like AJ stars and Ellie stars. Like, there's different stars throughout the portrait, and there's kind of these big spray-painted like pentagram stars, which are the AJ stars, and then these little kind of beautiful twinkly stars, which are the Ellie stars, because that's what she creates in her jewelry as well. So I kind of like how there's a bit of both of them in the portrait as well.
And you're right, there's such an interesting portrait, because when you think of the word portrait, you just think, oh, I'm going to see a face. But actually, there's so much more to a person than just their face, and all this background and all of their personality. And yeah, it's fabulous, isn't it? You can actually see his whole personality just in this picture without a face. So interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's such an interesting take on a portrait. Yeah.
And the more you look, the more you see. And like when you're talking about the cat, I hadn't actually noticed the cat, funnily enough. I've seen this picture so many times. I never even saw the cat. But just the whole landscape, it's just almost seamless, isn't it? Like, you've got hills going into waterfalls, into mountains, into sky, and actually it really works.
Yeah, it's such a special piece. And yeah, if you know AJ, I just feel like it does still capture him for sure.
Now, if you are tuning in and you're thinking, well, I really want to see these pieces, but I'm not at a toy right now, don't panic. They're all online right now, so you can actually listen to us and either go to YouTube, so the YTV YouTube channel. Well, I'll also put up these images on our social media later. So if you do want to have a look, I'll put them in order on our social media as well, so you can kind of have a look. But so we're on our fourth one now, aren't we? So Apa Papa Ali, what does Ali do next?
So next one is AJ's portrait of Belinda. So Belinda's a beautiful soul. She's a really talented photographer. She's actually just wrapped up her study at Massey's and has her master's show on right now at 26 Gallery. And she's also one of the founding members of the Handmade Darkroom, which is a photography collective here in Te Whanganui Atara that focuses on like sustainable photography practices, and the environment is a huge part of Belinda's work. And her and AJ really bonded over their love of the natural environment, which you can really see in this piece as well, and kind of written throughout the artwork is a whakatauki from AJ, and Te Torino is part of that. That kind of speaks to their love of the natural world, and the image is kind of a silhouette of Belinda in the natural environment, as well as a really beautiful portrait of her as well. And I just love AJ's work because it's so big and bold and colourful and unabashed. And he, I don't know, I love artwork when you look at it and you're like, that artist spent time making it. Like, you know, they just went hard out. And I really get that from AJ's work as well.
Nice. So Belinda then, she did...
Yeah, so Belinda did a portrait of Bonnie Rowe, and Bonnie does these fantastic little hyper-realistic, very tiny portraits. And so Belinda almost echoed that in her portrait of Bonnie. So it's a really small print of Bonnie, and so it kind of mirrors Bonnie's art style as well. And the other thing that I really love about this portrait is that Bonnie also does really amazing textile work, and knits these amazing vests and hats. And Belinda comes from a long line of sheep farmers as well, so they really bonded over their kind of natural material. And in the portrait, Bonnie's wearing a vest that she knitted herself, and it's actually got her name on it, so it says Bonnie, which I just think is too cute.
It does too. All these little things I hadn't even noticed. I love that you're just like, have a look at this and this bit over here. And every picture so far, every bit of work, I've gone, oh, yes, I need to have a closer look at that. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then Bonnie, who did Bonnie?
So Bonnie then did a really hyper-realistic drawing of Robbie. And when you see this, so many people initially think it's a photograph, but it's just a very, very highly executed pencil drawing of Robbie. And Bonnie's one of those artists that just, like, has a vision and executes. So she knew Robbie previously. They used to work together at City Gallery, and she was like, oh, I'd love to draw Robbie. And I know exactly what I want to do. And so they had the vision, and it's, Robbie with his like cap slightly on and like drinking out of a Coca-Cola can. And it's just incredible, that piece. Like, you really want to go stick your nose up in it and just take it all in.
It is. That being a drawing is incredible. Like, so many people come up to me and go, is that a photograph? No, that's a drawing. It is stunning. So if you've not seen the show, please do come in, because all of these artworks are amazing. But this one in particular just blew my mind. I was like, oh my, it is actually a drawing. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible, that one. Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
All right, so then Robbie.
Robbie painted myself, which I was so stoked because I love Robbie's work so much. Like, I think I told you, like, I came up painting, and Robbie is like a painter's painter. Like, it's his technique is just so fun, and he's so good with colors, and I just love his style, because the portraits and typically or the figures in his work are typically kind of somber, but his work is so playful because he brings in all of these other elements that bring in the emotion. And the way he talks about it is these almost like cheeky elements or kind of strange shapes and figures, and then that's what brings in the emotion, as opposed to, like, you know, having someone smiling or kind of having the emotion through the face. And so you'll see in this portrait of me that there's kind of like these fun shapes or wings or feathery kind of elements to it that really make the artwork really playful. And he definitely has that in a lot of his work, and I've admired his work for such a long time, so to have him paint a portrait of me, I'm just like very stoked.
Because when I first looked at her, I thought, oh, there's a ghost behind her. It's really bizarre. But yes, you're right, it's kind of feathery, kind of this, it is a playful shape. I can't quite describe it terribly well, but it would be a very different portrait if that shape, ghost, feathery thing wasn't there.
I know, right? Yeah, and it really just does what he intended for it to do. Like, it brings the kind of emotion and feeling into the work.
Mm. So one thing I do want to ask is, when your portrait is being done, do you get to look at it while it's being done, or do you get to look at it only when it's finished?
Yeah, so the way that I kind of set up the exhibition is, or kind of manage people's expectations, is that I often say to the artists that this is not a commission, you know, like it's the artist sets the creative direction of the piece, but the goal is that you work on it collaboratively and that everyone's okay with the direction that the portrait is heading in, and then that it's good to keep your subject informed and that the subject can, what I say, like raise any red flags. Like if there's something they feel really, really uncomfortable with, then that's totally fine. But if they're like, my nose looks weird, or like, then that's not really, you know, it's not a commission. They don't have to buy this and put it on their mantelpiece, you know, like the big part of the exhibition is just putting your faith in another artist and kind of rolling with the experience of being a subject, essentially. So, yes, the artist can definitely show the work in progress to their subject, and that's definitely encouraged.
So did you have to sit for Robbie? Did you have to kind of, were you there for hours, or was it a photograph, or how did it all work? How did it all kind of get started?
Yeah, it's so interesting because every artist is different, and I always have to ask their requirements. You know, like, do they like to paint from life, or do they just need a reference image, and then try and match them with the subject that can kind of offer them what they need. But Robbie's one of those artists where he just needs a couple of reference images. So I had my best friend take a whole range of photos for him, and then kind of just sent them through for him to kind of work with, because he's way more after that kind of visual element and just needs a few reference images to kind of work from.
Interesting. And I love how your face is so textured. Like I can see like there's blue and there's red and there's yellow and there's really bright, almost kind of bright orange in there. Not face kind of colours you would expect. But it really works, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't envy him having to paint my hair. I know we're on radio, but for those out there, I've got really curly hair that's kind of a mix of a few, like, blonde and brown, and it's buffy. I didn't envy him having to try paint that.
I totally agree with you. If you look at my hair, it's not one colour, it's an absolute, you know, mess of colours. Yes, I'm quite curly as well, so I can imagine. I see where you're coming from. All right, let's move on. So, Lindsay, who did you paint?
Yeah, so I painted Wayayo, and he's a beautiful artist who's. I found his artwork through the Kingita Hitea Portrait Award, of which he was a finalist in, and he's also just graduated from Massey, so I saw some of his work at the Massey show as well, and he is a super, super talented, really fine artist, like in kind of traditional oil painting, but definitely has his own kind of unique style with that as well. And I'm one of those artists where I like to capture the likeness of someone, but also really want to capture where they're at in that particular chapter in their life, and kind of capture, bring in some of those more emotional elements of what resonating with them at that point in time. So when I met up with Wayayo to take the reference images, because I like to take my own photographs to work from, I was kind of having a bit of a corridor with him and asking him what was going on and, you know, what kind of going on in his world and how he would describe the chapter of his life that he's in at the moment. And he was like, well, you know, a lot of stuff's changing for me. I've just graduated from Massey, and I'm about to move down to Otatahi, Christchurch. And he's like, and I haven't actually told anyone else this, but my partner's pregnant. And so, yeah, he was like in this real moment of change. Mm-hmm. And so what that meant for the portrait is, for those listening who haven't seen it yet, there's like a portrait of him kind of looking down the barrel, but there's also two kind of faded portraits on either side of him, with like one kind of looking back and one looking forward. And that was to really kind of capture that moment that he was in. Nice. Of like this point of change of him looking back but also looking forward. So it was really special to kind of capture him right at that inflection point.
Yeah.
And I guess the other thing is, like, I'm really colour obsessed. Like, I just love colour and colour theory, and my works are often quite bold with their colour. And I was asking him, I was like, what does this feel like in terms of color, like, you know, if you're to describe what color this all feels like. And he was like, just, it feels orange. He's like, I can't describe why. But yeah, I really leant into that.
Yeah, you really did. Very orange. Very orange. Yeah. But I think it really does just real pop, doesn't it, with the orange?
Yeah, it probably just means I need better lighting in my studio because it was like way more orange than I anticipated.
No, and I love this story of kind of these two almost kind of ghostly faces behind, like you say, his actual kind of main kind of Dan the Barong face. And yeah, that absolutely, that resonance, isn't it? Absolutely. You're looking back, you're looking forward, and here he is right now. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you pleased with it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? I did a portrait of him. I spent ages on it. And then I was like, oh, I don't know if I really like this. And this is the beauty of being the curator and not just one of the artists involved. It was like I got to muck with my own deadline. So 3 days before the show, I just busted out a new one, and that's the one.
Oh my
and I prefer it way more than the original.
How funny. All right, so then what did he paint? Who did he paint?
So Wayayo painted Amit Dutta, and Amit is also another painter who's based in a really fantastic studio in the heart of Wellington called Dye Studios. And Amit's just such a lovely human. Like, I just think he's such a goodie. And the portrait of him is so sweet and also just beautiful. Like, Wayayo is such a talented, quite traditional with his skill set, but still brings in his own flair. And so I love this portrait so much because it's beautifully rendered portrait of Amit, but then the background is really like flowy and swoopy, yeah. And it's really hard to merge those two styles together, and Wayayo just does it seamlessly. And I just love that portrait because Amit just looks so happy joyful, and he just that is him to a T. So I feel like it really captures his essence as well.
It really does. I mean, I've never met him, but he seems like a lovely guy, and like how happy he looks with that plant in his hand. I think we could be friends.
It's so good, eh?
Really good. Okay, so what did Amit do?
So Amit painted Ari Hellendoorn, and Ari's such a fantastic painter. He's quite established. He's represented by Sweet and has a really distinct style. And my favourite thing about this portrait is that it's a painting of Ari in his grungy, like, painting clothes. You can see the paint on his pants and his old Guns N' Roses t-shirt. And it's a portrait of him in his painting clothes in his studio, sitting in front of one of his paintings. So I just love this portrait so much because it's just like an artist captured in their zone. Yeah. And Amit did such a good job of like working with, you know, painting one of Ari's paintings in the background and bringing Ari's quite distinct color palette actually into the skin tone of Ari as well. Mm. Like Ari uses a lot of peaches and purples and teals, and Amit did such an incredible job of actually bringing those colors to life and into like the actual flesh tones of Ari as well.
I must say, this is the one that really drew me in to start with, I think, because it's so clever. Like, he's got the his eyes, just they're just staring at you, you know, you just kind of can't help but just
think
what's going on. And like you say, those kind of purple shapes in the background, they really just draw you in. So he did a brilliant job. So I really like this one. And like you say, I love that he's kind of got this paint splattered t-shirt. You know, he hasn't dressed up for this one, has he? It's very much, this is who I am. And I think that's great. And actually, the more I look at this one, the more, like when you say there's a painting behind, I hadn't actually noticed the paintings behind, because again, just focus with his eyes. But there's these two paintings, and there's almost a person, like a yellow kind of figure head kind of almost looking at him as well. It's kind of intriguing.
Yeah, that's one of our paintings behind him. So, and it kind of is like a roomscape, but with some other portrait pieces within it as well. So it's a really clever piece like that.
So clever. All right, so then we're almost at the end. Was it two more to go?
Oh, just one more.
One more.
So the last one is Ari's portrait of Javier Murcia. So Javier is a really talented sculptor and actually does a lot of work with Weta Workshop. And his Javier's father was a physio, and so Javier has like a lot of anatomical knowledge. And so Ari did this beautiful portrait of Javier, and it's actually got these elements of almost like DNA and physiology within the portrait as well, which is a bit of a nod to Javier and his background, as well as like one of Javier's sculptures in there of a horse as well. But still in Ari's like really distinct style and distinct colours. So Ari just does layers and layers and layers of acrylic paint and kind of builds it up with all these like drips and bumps. And it's another one of those portraits where you really want to go stick your nose up into it, because there's just so much to take in. Like, there's so many layers and colours, but then you step back and it's still just a beautifully captured, he still captures Javier's likeness wonderfully.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm trying to get my face as close to the computer as possible. There's that pattern there. Can I see that? So, no, I'm going to have to go back and have a good old proper look at this, because, as I say, bit working there, I kind of walk past it all the time, but actually I've got to go and have a good proper look. This has been awesome. Okay, so we've got, oh my goodness me, we've only got 10 minutes to go. Shall we have a quick play of your last song, or should we just carry on? What would you like to do?
Whatever suits. We can carry on and then close on the song if you like, as a little departure note.
I like that. Yes, okay, let's do that. I've not done that before. Let's do that. Oh, love it, Lindsay. All right, so then there's a couple of questions I did want to ask you, particularly about the pairings that you've chosen. Were there any ones who had particularly good collaborations together, or any ones that were like, actually, I never want to see you again? What's the goss?
Definitely a no to your last question. Like, everyone works so well together, which is always really lovely. I think because a big part of the kaupapa is like connection and collaboration. And so people kind of go into it knowing that that's kind of the vibe of the exhibition. So they kind of go in with their eyes wide open on that. But yeah, actually matching the artist is one of the hardest parts of the exhibition. The way that I do it is actually kind of a little bit formal. I get people to actually like fill in a survey.
Really?
And the first part of the survey is like what you require as an artist, like how you like to work. So it's like, do you need lots of time with your subject? Do you need to do a photo shoot? Do you need to go on location? You know, like, do you need to understand your artist emotionally? And then the second part of the survey is, what are you willing to offer as a subject? How much time do you have? What are you comfortable with? And then based on people's answers, I kind of match them based on who can kind of fit each other's requirements. And I do also just ask them if they have a preference, because there's some artists out there who are like, oh my God, I love that person's work, or I would love to have that person as a subject. So I do my best to kind of match people up with who's going to kind of suit their needs. But there's always so many what ifs, like even just with this current 12, there's like so many different iterations. You know, you could just keep doing this again and again with the same 12 and have a different exhibition every time.
Well, I was going to say, what's next? Is there going to be an artist on artist 4?
Yeah, it's in the works. Just waiting on some dates and funding and et cetera. But yeah, we'll be back again next year for sure. I've still got itches to scratch with this exhibition. And there's just so many other artists that I'd love to work with and have them involved. So yeah, we'll be back again next year.
And have you been in each of the exhibitions so far? Not just curating, but actually have been involved in painting?
Yeah, I have so far. I mean, maybe not always going forward, but I have been in each of the exhibitions, which has been really fun and a real privilege to work with so many artists and be captured as a subject, but also getting to paint some of some really beautiful artists from around the country as well.
And finally, is this show going on tour anywhere else? Is it stopping now at Aratoi?
It's going to close at Aratoi because we've had such a beautiful long run. And then prior to this, we were at 26 Gallery in Wellington. And then also because I've got to get cranking on next year's, because it finishes in November and then it's a few more months and then we're into then we're into 2025 shock horror. So yeah, it will end its run at Aratoi, which is a really beautiful place to end its tour.
Thank you so much. I think Aratoi is a beautiful place too. It's a lovely place to have your work. Thank you so much, Lizzie, for giving up your time this afternoon to talk to me.
Oh, no worries. It's been a real joy. It's flown by.
Hasn't it?
And yeah. And the last song, just to kind of end collaboration, is a collaborative song between two artists that I really like, The Avalanches and Leon Bridges, who come from two completely different worlds. Like, Leon is like a smooth operator, kind of soulful Motown artist, and The Avalanches are kind of like synthy indie rock stars, and they came together to produce, to create this song, and I just love it. And it kind of speaks to the exhibition, where when you mix two different artists from two different disciplines and worlds, you can get some real magic.
Amazing. Well, that's a quote to finish on, isn't it? Thank you so much, Lindsay. We'll play that now and have a lovely rest of your day. And just remind us, when does the exhibition come down?
3rd of November, so you've got plenty of time to come in and check it out, grab a coffee at the cafe and check out the exhibition.
And I'll put those images up on Facebook as well for everyone to have a look at. Thank you so much, Lindsay. Thank you. And I'm sure we will speak soon, but we will do this again. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Becky.
Bye. Okay, so let's finish off with our last song. As Lindsay said, The Avalanches featuring Leon Bridges with Interstellar.